no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
What have hey, I have a question.
Hello.
About this? Can I ask a life question?
Oh, yeah, sure, go for it.
Do you either one of you, do you ever wear your underwear until it doesn't like fall off your body? Or is that when you know the underwear is done?
Like you can't get it off of your body?
No, like I went to put a pair of underwear on last night and I just put my foot through it. Like it was, yeah. I don't know, like it was phyllo dough.
Yeah.
Like I had wrapped myself up like a piece of baklava. Is that what you do?
No. That's Marcus, and then I am Ben. Man, the guy to my left, he's a little ripe today.
Certified underwear tester Henry Zebrowski.
Yeah.
I just feel like if you're second guess, oh yes, we've all got loose underwear.
Sure, right? Normal underwear.
Where the elastic is a little like,
oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it definitely feels like Oprah's belt.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Stressed out, full of work.
They keep saying, they're like, oh no, Oprah, this is genuine constricting leather, and it's just actually a rubber band, so that she can gain and lose as much weight as she wants.
Sure.
And she's like, these pants fit. Because she's made out of rubber. All of her clothes are made to shrink to her body.
Oh, yeah. No, there's a bunch of fetish sites dedicated to it.
But I also think that I just don't pay attention enough to my underwear to know that the fabric is degrading.
Wear underwear until the underwear itself comes loose from the elastic. Completely.
See, I feel like that's grosser.
I mean, I just think you gotta change your underwear, you know, just every now and again.
I have literally 70 pairs of underwear.
Yeah. Oh, good.
That's why I keep getting more, but I don't throw out the old ones. And I don't know that the old ones are old until they literally disintegrate off my body.
Well, that's fine. That's normal. Let God sort it out. That's nice. You have the full circle of life. The life cycle of
Kill
Henry's...
Kill all, burn all, loot all.
Sure, sure.
Like, I'm like the Japanese.
Yeah. You're sort of, yeah, your nuts are like Muruto. Unit 731.
Yeah, no, I go and I take all my underwear and a lot of times what I'll do is I'll cough on my underwear just to see what happens to it.
Uh-huh.
You know, get it sick, go find a bum,
yeah.
Rub it underneath a bum's armpits, then I cut it up with a scissor. And I go, scream, underwear, no one can hear you.
Well, Mangala and Unit 731 have nothing on the scientific experiments you conduct on your underwear on a daily basis.
We're doing a very serious podcast today.
It's all aliens all the time. We've got a whole series of things to discuss, and this one is intense. Aliens are real.
Now,
it's official.
It is entirely official. We've had this video posted a couple times. I posted it on my own Facebook page. This an admittance from the minister, a former minister of defense from Canada, who basically comes out and says, like, we are working with aliens right now. We are working, and this kind of was precipitatory to the very beginning of the citizens' disclosure meeting that happened in Las Vegas, Nevada, outside of the Camelot casino there, the one that's like a big castle, right?
I stayed there when I was a kid. It was great fun.
Very nice. Yeah, of course.
Excelsior.
Excelsior!
By the way, it's called Excalibur.
I'm sorry.
Camelot.
I like Excelsior. It's better. Of course, Henry is referring to the former Minister of Defense of Canada. So I'll tell you one thing. Not busy. Not the busiest Minister of Defense in the world, but his name is...
Let's hear what he was up to while he was getting his massive waves of alien sightings.
And, of course, this elderly fellow's name is Paul Hellyer, and he spoke in front of the Canadian Parliament, and a lot of them mocked him, and a lot of them made fun of him, but he was saying some very powerful
things. Every time someone brought him a new UFO thing, he would like look at the sighting report and go, Hellyer!
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 He's like the white Tyler Perry.
It is. Hellyer.
That's a
Hellyer.
Hellyer.
You want a beer?
You've got to bleed aliens up in that sky now.
Hellyer.
Shit. Is that Madea? Is that what she sounds like?
Big sort of. Back up. But that, I gotta be nice. Oh, you know I be wearing a dress, but I'm a man.
And once again, we've gone into Miss Cleo territory, so give Henry a call at 1-800-OVERWEIGHT, gonna die soon. It's a long number.
So let's
and he'll
hear
read
some
your
words
future.
From Mr. Hellyer himself.
Yes, Paul
Senior,
Hellyer.
Is that how you say?
No, it's honorary Paul Hellyer, not Senior.
Although I was Minister of National Defense, I had sighting reports of UFOs. I was too busy to be concerned about them at the time because I was trying to unify the Army, Navy, and Air Force into a single Canadian Defense Force. and that itself was a kind of battle to the finish. So this was not high on my agenda.
Well, you know,
I mean,
but about 10 years ago, I started getting interested due to a young man from Ottawa sending me material on the subject. I told him I was too busy to read it, but he had confidence that someday I would.
What are the odds he had sex with that guy? What are the odds he wasn't banging this young man from Ottawa?
That's the problem. Every single time you get a tip from a young man and you are a high-powered politician, yeah, a lot of times it's the tip is, you got to get the good ice buckets at the end of the hotel highway. You know, sometimes the bad ones leak. It's like, thank God, now we got something to keep all the old scotch I keep in a boot underneath the bed.
Yes.
Roll around in it. I like to pour scotch all over the bed and have my new young friend from Ottawa roll all around in the scotch in bed. And I go, you're my little scotch bonnet, that's how I call him. And then, I play his dick like it's a flute.
And by the way, he did succeed.
Oh, you like aliens, little boy?
Oh, that's good, boy. Yeah.
You want some flapjacks?
No, sir, we don't eat flapjacks anymore.
Oh, well. I made the maple syrup myself. Oh, it's an alien! that's just another young boy prostitute.
Well, why don't we play Abduction later on tonight, Grandpa? That'll be fun.
Yeah, boy. Let's play a game of Abduction.
Let's play a game. Wait, I want to be the alien
Let's
this time.
Let's get a fun game. You can't say anything. All right, you're paralyzed.
Yeah.
I'm going to lift you from the bed.
I'm going to put this flashlight right in your eyes.
I'm going to take a big old funny knife. I'm going to cut out your butthole.
All right,
let's
get into it. I always love coming to this hotel room.
Have I shown you my tall, thin what?
Looks more like a gray, sir. Boom, alien jokes.
All right, here's a couple minutes more into the hearing.
Now that we've completely mocked our number one source for alien information.
Except for that, there are just a couple of things that we've talked about that I'd like to refer to. And one was that we were referring to them as they until this morning when Linda Moulton Howe, I think she was the first one, actually named three different species. I don't think we can any more refer them to them as they because they're not an amorphous mass. They are different species and consequently may have different agendas. I don't think we can say that they all have the same agenda any more than that we could say that the United States, China, and Russia had the same agenda. Our real interests may be very similar, but as of now, our perceived interests are still quite far apart.
Absolutely terrifying. This is actually, he goes on to say from here that we are actively working with three different species of aliens.
Yep.
He goes on to name the Pleiadians. He talks about reptilians and he talks about the Nordics, which you've heard a lot is
the tall whites.
Yeah, the tall whites, just like his pecker.
Yeah.
But they were beautiful, not like all like a twisted, you know, diseased branch of an old tree.
Yeah bumpy
they're what,
and bizarre.
They're what Hitler and his followers worshipped.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they showed up, and then they decided not to work with them.
The Nordics decided not to work with them.
Yes.
The Nordics decided not to work with the Nazis.
Oh, no, it's a flip. No, you remember? No, the Nazis decided not to work with the aliens. The aliens came in 1942 and offered to give them the rocket technology, and they're like, no, you're just a bunch of space Jews.
Space Jews? They called them space Jews, huh?
Yeah, but I'm sure I'm saying it as nice as I could say it.
Sure.
I'm sure that there is some weird cryptic one-word German word for space Jew that is something that sounds like star rat. but I don't want to say star rat.
Yes.
Because the NSA is listening.
And perhaps that's why Hitler wanted to go to the moon so he could make little moon camps.
Oh, you just want to go to the moon aliens. Because we all need a vacation home.
Oh,
Stalin is still rat.
Indeed.
That's star rat in German.
Did you just look that up?
Yeah.
God, you're on the ball.
He's good. But Paul Hellyer, yeah, it's very interesting stuff. And he wants
the 90- most.
What was that?
No, he's the most high powered. person ever come out and say that aliens are real. He just came out and said it. He said, like, it's tacitly agreed on. All the governments know it. We're working with an alien. We got Glip Glop making the new family van somewhere in the Pentagon.
It's an astro van.
He is not getting benefits.
No.
First of all, I think that that's a civil rights thing.
I agree.
If the ACLU was on that, they'd be like, oh, you mean to tell me he can't get a week's vacation? But at the same time, when
Give
Glip
him a
Glop
vacation.
Has got to put on his plastic suit in order to pretend to be a person. Mm-hmm. He's going to Disney World. You know he's got to be hot. And where he's from, up on Serpo, which we should have covered today. I totally forgot about.
Yeah.
Alien race. It's very alien planet with a the lovely group of Ewok-type aliens
okay.
that live on it.
Now, is Serpo a hot planet, a cold planet?
They said it was a relatively temperate but dry
okay.
planet.
Oh, okay. Sort of an Arizona-like planet.
Yeah, they sucked on plants. Serpo sounds gross.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. It's like, that's what they said. It's like a permanent, like, adobe planet.
Okay.
The whole planet's made out of it. It's like Tatooine.
Oh.
I think they mean Tatooine. Like when they were talking about it. I think they meant to keep bringing up Tatooine. But this stuff's really crazy. It's mind-blowing.
Yeah, and Hellier, I think the most terrifying point of it all is that when he says that they all have their different agendas.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because that's what we talk about. That's, to me, probably the main reason why the government is not talking about aliens. This is what I believe in. What did Hellier, he wants 95%?
Well, it's 95 to 98% full disclosure, and he just equates it to the idea, it's like, sure, you're going to be shattered. You know, humans are going to be upset, just as a child's upset when they find out the Tooth Fairy isn't real and Santa Claus isn't real. So, you know, it's going to take a small adjustment to realize, you know, that we have to be big boys now and grow up and realize there's aliens all around us.
It's a whole new level of diplomacy.
It's going to take a long weekend for people to understand that there is a there's a bunch more reality.
Have a barbecue, talk it over, everything's going to be fine.
Play some Scrabble, everybody just chill out. Don't worry, there's a new Arrested Development on the fucking Netflix. You can watch it. You get upset, think about the aliens, just watch your fucking favorite old show get run through the mud again so that everyone can pretend to like it.
Watch Cheers.
Not good.
No, it's not.
Watch the television show
it is
Cheers.
The biggest showbiz blowjob I've ever seen in my life, and it angers me.
Yeah. Arrested Development, it's fun.
It's a conspiracy.
Fun. It's not a conspiracy. No, just
this
watch
is a conspiracy.
Cheers.
No, but it's very true because that's what we were talking about. It's like there's been mentions before. We've been working with up to 12 different alien races.
Yeah.
Each one's got a different, they have a different agenda. And there's, you know, you got the reptilians that, I mean, their sole purpose is to fuck with David Icke.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the Pleiadians whose sole purpose is to, like, help Scorpio take people to the pyramids and bilk them of thousands of dollars. But I
For
really...
thousands of years ago.
No, I'm talking about now.
Oh, okay.
What his name?
Oh,
Cobra.
Yeah, not Cobra. Scorpio. Cobra.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, not
the Pleiadians,
Scorpio.
The light aliens. I mean, we know about this. We did
That's
an episode
right.
on it a while back.
Of course, we know about Cobra. Of
so
course.
The-
Who was our savior before we found
Lord Rael? Yeah, by the way, praise Lord Rael. Thank you so much.
Thank
you so much for today. And thank you, you know, we haven't had a tornado hit Brooklyn in a week. And I just want to say thank you so much for that, Lord Rael. You're a wonderful man.
I'm just wondering what the Canadians did to deserve all those floods. Because obviously, Rael did it.
No doubt. Man. We'll have to ask him when we get him on air. I'm sure we can find him.
They just keep housing those evil beavers.
Yes.
That's
yes.
the problem, is that beavers in their agenda. That's what no one's talking about with the government, as far as I'm concerned.
That's very, very true.
So all of this leads to discussion of Dr. Stephen Greer, which we talked about, who put together the serious documentary about the tiny alien baby.
Yes.
That he, quote unquote, found. But it's, which was an incredible documentary that's really the perfect example of everything that's going on in modern UFO theory right now.
Mm-hmm.
So if you haven't watched it, watch it. It's great. But Dr. Stephen Greer, who also believes he could speak with aliens by shining lights at UFOs, and he thinks that they have psychic congress with them.
Sure.
Which I was listening to a Coast to Coast. I forget his name. The guy who was the former editor-in-chief of UFO Magazine. He's like, Dr. Stephen Greer runs a cult!
Oh, he doesn't like him.
He hates it. Oh, yeah. That's one thing I've also, like, this specific research bout I went through, they all hate each other.
Right, right.
All of the different UFOologists hate everybody else.
Well, they're fighting for a very small piece of the pie here.
Yeah, for that tiny piece
it's
of
nuts. It's
a
tough market.
Pie filled with dead flies.
Well, that's a good pie.
I mean, that's what you get when there's an entire scientific field based purely on speculation.
Yeah.
I mean,
pseudoscience.
I'm not going to say that. I will not say
but
that.
But nonetheless, okay.
So the Citizens Disclosure meeting started on May 13th. It was led by Dr. Stephen Greer, and this was an opportunity to get some of the highest caliber, like most, like, what's the term? Like we're getting like high profile alien witnesses and abductees. Right. That
not
are
just
all,
local yokels.
Credible.
Yeah, they're credible. These are people who are showing up and they're putting their reputations on the line to talk about some cockadoo stuff. And
well,
it's,
I don't
it's
know if they would appreciate that cockadoo term.
No, but you know what I mean. Like when you show up and you're like, you know, and. When he laid me down on the table and he stuck his finger in me. Like, you can't be a colonel and be taken seriously after you've been raped in a
but
starship.
But it does seem to me like there's a lot of new information coming out right now. Obviously, this Hellier situation was different than the citizens' disclosure
but he
hearing.
But he did the keynote speech for that. He sent in, well, he sent in a video. He's very old.
Yeah, exactly.
And so he sent in a video, and one of there's a couple of really compelling stories that came out of the Citizens Disclosure Act. First of all, I would also say go to citizensdisclosure.org. I believe that's a website.
Yeah, citizenhearing.org.
Citizenhearing.org.
Hearing.
Honestly, I would say give them money. Like, I want to give them money.
You're
going
to say give them money? Give us money.
Well, give
why
us
you, why
money.
Are you making them money before you make us money?
Well, these are people that are actually going to make a difference in
the
world.
Oh, yes, I see.
But
never
let's get
mind.
Let's get through some of these stories.
Yes, let's hear some of these wonderful stories.
Well, first of all, so everyone knows, the Citizens Hearing on Disclosure, what it actually was is that they hired former congressmen to come to this.
I mean, that's the most sketchy thing of the whole thing is that they pay these congressmen $20,000 a pop to show up.
Yeah. I mean, and
so, but a couple of them
were
I mean, $20,000 isn't even that much money when it comes to taxes. So they seem relatively convinced for $10,000.
Yeah. I mean, it's because the whole thing is sort of it's like a practice run for when they actually get to the point of going in front of Congress and testifying.
Yes.
Yeah. But, I mean, I support it fully. It's a great one.
It's a really cool, like, what they get, the caliber of witnesses that they get is unparalleled. It's pretty amazing. So what was the name of this first guy we're going to talk about?
So this first guy, I mean, they had everybody possible, but a lot of military guys. And the military story that, like, really jumped out at me was a former 25-year Peruvian Air Force pilot. His name is
Clinco Martinez.
Oh, Clinco Martinez. Very good. I mean, every time he gets out, just a bunch of Coronas pop out of his fucking...
I hope you guys like papayas.
Interesting.
I mean, not that far off. It's Colonel Oscar Santa Maria.
Ooh, I like Oscar Santa Maria.
Santa Maria just sounds like a thing he said when he saw the alien.
Yes. In 1980, Santa Maria! Look at the UFO!
Oh, no, I dropped my bananas.
You know, flying with bananas is dangerous.
It's bananas.
Part of the banana family.
Yes. I really don't know the difference.
Like,
I'm a
part of the George Clooney family.
just being a human. Yeah. Sort of.
So in 1980, Colonel Oscar Santa Maria was ordered to take off and shoot down.
I'd fuck him, by the way. If I'm at a bar, sexy, like, what's your name? Oscar Santa Maria.
It just sounds like a guy who's wearing, like, a scarf for a belt.
Oh, definitely. I mean, yeah, why not? Why not?
We call those sashes.
Oh, I forget.
Yes.
He was ordered to take off and shoot down a sphere-shaped UFO that was in restricted airspace near an air base. The encounter lasted more than 20 minutes. He said, quote, "These were 22 minutes where we went up and down. It went around, and it was trying to avoid me while I was pursuing it, and I was trying to fire. When I first fired, these were bursts of 30-millimeter shells. Mm-hmm. A single one can destroy a truck, and I shot...
I feel like he's just shooting plantains. Just shooting with plantains out of the...
It can destroy a whole forest of bananas.
It's amazing.
He said that he shot 64 and nothing happened at all. Mm-hmm. And he said the possibility of not hitting my target was practically impossible. He said, "I've won awards for marksmanship, and that's why they sent me up there to chase this thing, and the possibility of missing it was zero." And this thing was 30 feet in diameter, had a dome on top, no engine, wings, or windows. And he said, "I tried different positions. When it went up, it had supersonic speed. When I moved to the side of the UFO at 1.3 Mach, it stopped. And then in a matter of seconds, it achieved Mach 1.2 with no engines whatsoever on the outside." And he said that's something that absolutely nobody can do. And he said when he landed, he met with intelligence officers. They looked at all the catalogs to see what possible spy object that might have been, but there was nothing similar.
Like a military
whatsoever.
Sky mole they were looking at? Like, yeah, so what do we got? Let's flip through it.
Let's see what we got. No,
this
no,
one looks
no,
like
no.
a lightsaber. This
it's
is pretty cool.
It's not the dog feet warmers. Okay. It's not our fake Bigfoot statues.
I love that fake Bigfoot statue, though. I want to buy one. Tom, can you buy me one?
One day, I will purchase everything in Sky Mall.
I love
just
Sky Mall.
Sit in my house. Sky Mall's
amazing.
Have you met anybody with the movie glasses?
No, I never have, and I want
to. No, of course not.
I want to meet somebody.
Those people ride first class.
If you know that someone reads Sky Mall, if they've got movie glasses, and anywhere they go, they can unroll a putting green. Because I'll tell you, they sell so many great putting greens in that Sky Mall. So they looked through the catalog of military.
They looked, and they found absolutely no technology in the entire world that was similar. But, I mean, on the other hand, I mean, I think this is interesting because in Peru, as we all know from our research, into ancient alien technology,
yes.
That Peru is where the Mayans are, also where the, what are they called?
They found the tiny airplanes.
That's right.
They found the tiny airplanes, the Nazca lines, those are also
yes.
in Peru.
Which is also very interesting. You just can't tell what it is except if you're from space. You have to know that you're making something that can only be seen from the sky.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There's a lot of UFO activity around Peru and has been for hundreds of thousands or thousands of years, literally
well,
thousands
a lot
of years.
A lot of this activity is connected to natural water sources.
Yeah,
that's a big thing. Is that like that's why civilizations were built there? Civilizations were built there because the water was easy to be found. It's in the middle. It's like jungle, then desert, then mountain. They just wanted to find a place where they could just stick their foot in the ground and get it wet.
Right.
Yeah,
because it makes sense. Which is always like, so you just wonder, how did people stop in the Middle East? You know, how did anybody stop in the desert
because
and choose to live?
Because it used to not be. At one point, it wasn't a desert. And then it's like, if you go, and then it's just like, well, my mama's there. I can't believe it all the time. You know, it's like, it is getting drier and drier up in here, yak mood.
Yeah, I enjoy that you completely got yourself out of having to do a Middle Eastern accent by just making them sing. All right, I think it's better that we just stick with that.
Not the Parmesan cheese at the sand.
Oh, Parmesan cheese. They don't use Parmesan cheese.
I'm sorry.
They use goat cheese.
I'm not a diplomat.
God, I just wish somebody busted through this door and beheaded you right then.
This is a great story because it's a dogfight with the UFO.
Yes,
and it sounds
great.
Like the UFO is just kind of
playing
like
around.
Playing around. Yeah. He knows that whoever's inside knows that there's no way that this primitive technology can hit him. It's great.
Right.
There's a lot of the same behavior seen. And another thing that's covered at the citizen disclosure hearing, which is commonly referred to as the Roswell of the UK. It's the Rendlesham Forest incident. And they had two of the events took place on a U.S. Air Force base that was stationed in England. Again, the same exact thing. It was kind of in the Stonehenge area. Like what they were talking about, it's like it's a natural water foundation. Mm. But the other thing was a lot of people talk about the gigantic burst of sightings that happened after humans got the ability to harness like atomic power. Mm. Like once we figured out how to drop the bomb, we started seeing aliens all over the place. And then we were having a discussion last night, pretty booze soaked, but we were saying at each other that at top volume that it's just a matter of maybe just perception changed and
right.
We started seeing more of them, but there's something connected with nuclear armaments.
Well, now this is something that I was just thinking about as far as like it seems like these technologies, these aliens have an unbelievable ability to just avoid all like they're just like they seem like they can avoid and their defenses are extremely high, but do they have any military capability? Do they come down here to get our nuclear technology?
No, I think they just came down here to just kind of like it's just a part of maybe this. It's like the civilization has come online to begin. It's the steps of either the more new agey idea is that we're either headed towards our ultimate destruction or it's the first steps toward galactic travel, and atomic power is like the first step towards that, and that if we don't change our ways that we'll just destroy ourselves, because it's just kind of this idea that we like every race has these pinnacle things, every species of every intelligent life like all over the universe like comes to these sort of crossroads where they can either destroy themselves or evolve.
And that all starts with you people. So take a look in the mirror.
Yeah.
Put on some Michael Jackson.
Put down the burger.
Put down the burger. But it does seem like their defensive capabilities are always better than their offensive capabilities, because I never once heard of an alien spacecraft bombing, you know, Idaho.
Yeah, so this is again. So the Rendlesham Forest, there was an Air Force base there that was housing nuclear weapons. And basically, we watched, like, at the citizens' closure, they had a man there who was a guard at the base. Mm-hmm. His name was Peniston.
Peniston.
Peniston. I know it sounds like
a medicine.
Penis Town, but I will say that his name is Peniston, John Peniston, and his supervisor, Charles Halt. And they had one of the most detailed descriptions ever of a UFO landing. Okay. Essentially, they were on guard duty. They saw lights out in the forest. Again, mm-hmm. it's a nuclear base, so the alarms were raised very quickly. Mm-hmm. They went out to look for it, and basically Peniston came up to a... Now I can't help but think of Peniston.
Peniston. We'll just call him Peniston. That's fine.
So when Peniston approached the craft, he found that it was a triangle that was 9.8... feet on each side.
Okay.
And then he touched it and it felt like glass. And yes. Basically he shows all his original notes that were, it is, you know, cool to the touch, mm-hmm. making no sound.
You seem like you're describing a Cambodian slave boy as
yes,
well, which
yes.
is kind of interesting. Cool to the touch did not make a sound. We had different trips.
Delicate of finger work.
Indeed.
And that he also etched in his notepad the weird writing that was on the side of it, which is all this like strange triangle with mm-hmm. two circles on either side of it. It was incredibly eerie, and it like basically showed up. They looked at it and then zipped out, like mm-hmm. it just left. They came back the next day. So they went back. They reported to their officer, like to their higher ups, basically saying, "We saw this thing." They're like, "Well, we don't know what it is. We don't know." Yep. It didn't set off any like a bomb, so we don't give a shit what it is. It happens again the next day. Basically, one of his supervisors, Charles Halt, is like, "Fuck this! I want to see it. I want to see the fucking alien."
Mm-hmm.
So they went out, and he followed a blue light out into the forest. And the idea is that he brought all this radiation gear out with him, and basically, right. the site of the first landing, which first of all, he took casts of the landing indents, like
right.
like these like weird circle marks in the ground, and that he has. I mean, they look like paper mache ball sacks.
Yeah, they're just holes there.
It could have been his weird sapphic erotic. You think he's putting his nuts in the soil? But I just say that.
You think that's happening?
Big, beautiful, thick nuts.
Okay, good. Plump.
And
I find it interesting that you went with nuts instead of breasts.
Oh, my God.
Something you want to say. Something you want to say, Henry.
It's fine. It's
Do you
fine.
Know this Hellier character personally? Have you ever been to his hotel room?
Hellier! So they went and he followed this light out. And one of the more interesting things is, it's like, so as far as the Citizens Disclosure Act, they were telling the story. John Peniston now has, God damn it.
John Peniston.
It's Peniston!
How many times have you heard Peniston?
So he went at the Citizens Disclosure hearing, and he was talking about basically since that day he has been diagnosed with very severe. I forgot what, like, he's apparently riddled with cancer.
Got a bunch of cancer.
The government will not. The U.S. government will not release his medical records from the time it was happened. It happened in 1980.
Mm-hmm.
They won't release the entire medical records of while he was serving at that U.S. Air Force Base in England.
But they'll release some of the records, but specifically not the records of during this sighting.
Just that time period.
Which is very
from
bizarre.
79 to 82
yeah.
when he served there. And it's like he can't get his benefits. It's like it's becoming a legal matter, but they're like, it's classified. And they're like, why the fuck is it classified? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Basically because he was heavily debriefed when this whole thing went down. He said that they gave him truth serum. They gave him sodium pentothal, which is like, he says he doesn't remember what happened. A lot of them were just like, there was apparently a lighthouse a bunch of miles from there, and they're like, you saw lights from the lighthouse. And he's like, no, I touched a UFO. And they're like, you saw lights from a lighthouse.
No, no, touch the UFO.
Like, oh my God, I saw yeah. lights
and then
from a lighthouse.
Exactly, as the commander slowly pulls a gun, points it at his face.
There's a branch of the U.S. government called the OSI. Was it OSI or is it U.S. or U.K.?
OSI is the, and that's the intelligence organization that predates the FBI and the CIA.
Yo, no, yeah. I think, or is that the CSS? There's a bunch of these fucking guys. It's the same thing with the NSA. We're just like, what do you do? You want to go up to the NSA and be like, hey, y'all, what exactly like goes on in here? And they're like, come with me. What?
The Department of Acronyms. That would be good.
Oh, my God. And they open up. The NSA opens up their back like vaults, and it's just Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. Come with me, and you'll see. And it's just like, this is beautiful. So we're going to play some of. So Charles Holt went out to investigate this UFO. He was. It's pretty crazy. He video recorded the he audio recorded the entire sighting, and this is some snippets from it.
Right at this position here, straight ahead in between the tree. There it is again. Watch straight ahead off my flashlight there. So there it is.
Hey, I see it too.
What is it?
We don't know, sir. So can I get some
of it? Yeah, it's a strange small red light. You'll see that maybe a quarter to half mile, maybe further out. I'm gonna switch off. The light is gone now. It was approximately 120 degrees from the sighting. Is it back again?
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's the flashlight set. It's more about the edge of the clearing so I can get a better look at it. See if you can get the star scope on it. The light's still there, and all the barn animals have gotten quiet now. Yeah, we're heading about 110 to 120 degrees from the site out through to the clearing now. Still getting a reading on the meter. About 2 clicks. Meter's jumped 3 to 4 clicks, getting stronger.
Now it's coming up. Hold up, there we go. About approximately 4 foot off the ground. Compass head of 110 degrees.
All right, I just turned the meter off. Gotta say that again. About 4 feet off the ground, about 110 degrees, getting a reading of about 4 clicks.
Yes, sir.
I think it's something other than the ground. I think it's something that's something variable here.
A tree right over.
We just found the first night bird we've seen. We're about 150 or 200 yards from the site. Everything else is just deathly calm. There is no doubt about it. There's some type of strange flashing red light ahead.
There's yellow.
I saw yellow tinge in it too. Weird. It appears to be maybe moving a little bit this way. Yes, it's bright as it has been.
Yellow.
It's coming this way.
Also,
it is definitely coming this way.
And that was just the first. So, like, basically, this whole tape is 20 minutes long, and I just want to go again to the very end. So one thing they were saying is that while this light was raising up and coming at them, is that it was dripping. It looked like it was dripping other lights, like coming off of it, which is really weird. And this is the. When it basically disappeared for a little while, and then it showed up again right on top of them.
3:30, it's either 3:30, and the objects are still in the sky, although the one to the south looks like it's losing a little bit of altitude. We're turning around and heading back toward the base. The object to the south is still beaming down lights to the ground. It's over 100 hours, one object still hovering over Woodbridge Base at about 5 to 10 degrees off the horizon, still moving erratic and similar lights and beaming down this area.
Yeah, it's
very
it's,
cool.
It's really, and that is, it's just real. These are the most credible people that you could have talking about this. These are guys that worked as security guards for a top secret nuclear base. Like, it's not even just like hanging out in Georgia. It's like you're in another country. These are John Penis Town had worked for 7 years. He was a 7-year veteran.
All right, all right.
I just think you could, and you know, really with that. With the radio communication, anything sounds very intense. I would like to have hear them have the conversation of who farted. Who farted?
Who farted? Coming in first. Who farted wins?
That must be an extreme military violation to fart inside of a cockpit. All right. I just feel like that's very offensive.
But that was some of the more illuminating things from the Citizens Disclosure hearing.
Yes.
They also talked a lot about just Roswell in general. It's real. The phenomenon's real. It's happening. It's the one thing that is real for definite.
But so there's a bunch of different things going on with aliens right now. Do we want to discuss the more religious angle?
I'd say let's save that.
You want to
save it?
Let's save it.
Okay.
Let's save it. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because we've got, we could talk a lot about that.
The, okay.
the
whole
the religious
thing,
angle, like that's a whole different episode.
Because really, I mean, that's why this story, this sort of idea of aliens has come full circle. Everybody with all different ideologies and all different walks of life were very interested in the alien conspiracy.
Well, I also like the idea of like Dr. Stephen Greer is very much of this idea that the aliens are here to help us, and
right.
then there's other ufologists who are just like, we're their lab rats, you know.
Yeah.
But it's, and I like we were talking about a little bit, we'll briefly talk about the fact that. UFOologists are shunned by the scientific community. There's no one less respected by anyone in
Definitely.
Society than the religious UFO experts who
right.
believe that aliens are angels or demons.
Yes.
I mean, just look at the Nephilim.
Yeah.
It's in the Bible.
There was I remember reading this one thing where it's just like, and the angels made it with humans. They made giants. And he knows, like, why aren't there no more giants?
Oh.
Because everybody can see a giant. They have to be smaller. They have to make themselves
Think
smaller.
About it.
You know?
That's yes. their exact logic. They're like, why aren't there giants anymore? Because they stopped being giants.
They stopped being giants.
I see. You make that choice.
Because
I get
it. There aren't any giants anymore because there aren't giants
there
anymore.
There aren't giants.
All right, guys. Well, I'm right here. Please, leave me alone.
Do we want to hear some hard evidence of real alien
hard
channeling?
Evidence.
Let's hear some hard evidence. But, Henry, I want to ask you really quick. What is your thoughts? What do you think the aliens are coming down here for? A peace? Just anal probes to help us out, to destroy us?
I think aliens are just another just sort of innocuous phenomenon of the universe. They may or may not have an agenda. I mean, I'm sure that they do. I'm sure anything that's conscious and is looking at another conscious species has some kind of idea of what's going on. But I think largely they look at us like a bunch of pink blobs that they cannot understand. And so my nuttiest belief system
Mm-hmm.
is that I think that we could be working with aliens. I think that we've got Gleep Glop.
We got Gleep Glop working.
Like, and he is sitting in there, and that's the thing, is that he's just working on new iPods, and he's just like, everyone hates the graph search on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. He's working on it.
Klaxar did it. He's from Pleiades.
So whenever you're listening to that entire Shania Twain collection you have on your iPod, thank Gleep Glop.
Thank Gleep Glop.
He did it. He's allowing you to do that.
I think there's a lot. The main problem is that there could be some sort of communication going on where they show up. Because I know that there's that idea of, like, I think we were talking before with the blue book and the red book and the yellow book.
Mm-hmm.
And they would show up and he's like, here's the history of humankind. And they'll show them this thing and, like, show them the whole history of the universe. And they're like, we got the voice. You know? Like,
the village voice.
You know, like, I'm talking about the Christina Aguilera show.
The voice, yeah.
You want to watch the voice? We got all the TV that you could want, Klaxar.
Right.
And he's just like, we traveled the galaxy to come here.
Right.
We love your TV.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nicki Minaj is like super cool.
Yeah.
She's on The Voice.
She's on The Voice. You know, getting stoned with aliens.
I never knew
I could be so groovy.
So you're
saying... What you gotta do, Gleep Glop, is you just gotta loosen up and dance a little bit.
Right.
Becky'll never like me. I don't have a penis.
Well, she might like you. It's a new
could,
kind of girl out there.
She could like you.
So they gave us nuclear technology, and we're giving them bad reality television.
They gave us Wi-Fi.
Okay.
I think that
it
they...
It seems like a fair trade-off.
Well, we stole it from them. Like their spaceship landed in Roswell, and we took it, and we built it up, and then there may have been one alien alive, and he was just like, "I'll give you all the secrets." And
all
I think
the
he's
streaming
just literally
porn you could want.
I just think he's been giving them the runaround for 6 years.
Just been singing like a canary.
No, I'm sure he's like, "We'll just I'll just give them porno and bad reality TV, and I won't tell them the true secrets of what I can take.
I think the most important lesson is that the universe is a lot bigger than we thought it was. And it's not bigger, it's deeper. It's that there is, I don't know if it's intrinsic meaning, but I think that there are many dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's, fuck you. Jesus, you laughing at me?
I'm not laughing.
I'm not laughing.
I'm laughing because I just like the term, it's not bigger, it's deeper. Like, that's what I would tell a woman if I had like a super tight vagina. If you're a chick out there with like a super tiny tight pussy,
it's not bigger,
it's deeper though. You know, and be like, it's not a grower, it's a shower. You just gotta get in there and really figure it out.
But there's something to it. It's the same thing with the idea of, elemental magic. When you can control your environment. A part of what aliens kind of show us is that you have to. It's the first thing is to sort of open your perception, and that's how you can change the universe. These aliens have kind of harnessed probably this idea that there is a direct connection to the thing that goes inside of, like, our psychic energy to how the universe functions, and that, like, maybe that's a part of where they're, God knows, maybe it's gravity, however they're flying their spaceships or poking through universe, like the dimensional fucking fabric in order to pop into our world.
Wormholes.
Yeah. It's a wormhole.
I really do believe that wormholes are the most plausible explanation or the most plausible way into interstellar travel.
Yes. It's quite possible. Well, but the idea is what they're also talking about now is the strapping a bomb to the back of a rocket ship and just exploding the bomb, and then it shoots the rocket ship up.
Huh.
Sounds fun. Dangerous.
Well, if we ever want to get laid again, let's just move on from this conversation. What do we got? We have some more.
We have one more thing to listen to.
Now, guys, we've covered a lot of serious stuff. I think this is probably the most serious stuff that we'll cover today.
Mm. We did make Hellier a pedophile.
He said,
I guess the boy was of age.
He said boy.
Yeah.
He said boy.
I mean, you can have a 22-year-old boy.
Oh, you can have a 40-year-old boy. Yeah.
Well, it's more like attitude. Yeah. You could be a 48-year-old boy if you got enough skip to your step.
Sure, yeah.
I think you can't be a boy after 25.
Age is just a number, you know.
I'm just a little boy.
You're a 55-year-old man at the sit-go.
Intriguing.
So an alien entity has finally decided to speak out loud, and I hope all of you are mentally prepared to hear this.
It's pretty shocking stuff.
Get prepared.
Don't tell people to take their clothes off.
Don't not take your clothes off.
God damn it, Henry.
Oh no, we lost the feed!
It started out, like, with me, kind of like the gifts of tongues, and once I met them, it just, everything with it, there's more to it. You can go and make that letter into a box, you know, and it just kind of fine-tuned. So the basic form would be like, Dershino koa tua, shetu kakia no koa, poastio pukwana. And that was I'm placing a blessing on all the listeners right now. Then to go into their language, be more like
This is how you order a soy venti latte in Alien Land.
It just sounds like what's his name from Enemy Mine.
Oh yeah, just that like clicking, like. It just sounds like a guy like a Spanish guy trying to speak Chinese, like trying to speak Mandarin but like faking it.
But probably yeah, he's just sipping on a milkshake and just like gurgling through a milkshake.
I mean, but still, it sounds more.
It's a romantic language, right behind French. Yeah, that's good. What did you say, Geigor?
I don't know. I hope I didn't call some aliens here.
I think you did.
I think you just called a bunch of aliens a bunch of dipshits.
Oh, Henry!
Oh, come
you
on!
Hell yeah!
I mean, I will say though, it's more convincing than any speaking in tongues that I've ever heard.
I agree. I actually really thought that was
tongue
awesome.
Tongue to waka to ko pikata laka sigavaka lokabal tol ketabun.
And Marcus apologized for you calling them a dipshit, so I think we're going to be fine. The world's at peace, everyone, so don't worry about it. And in a later episode, we'll get into the alien, the more religious angle of the alien theories.
The only
like
true
that.
Religion.
Satanism? Hail Satan, everybody. Thanks so much for listening.
Hail Geen.
The truth is in my fucking shoes.
It's not in your shoes.
I made it fun. Magustalations.
I don't even know how the truth would be in your shoes.
Hail me! If it's written on my feet. But you gotta be a bit of a fetishist to enjoy.
My toenails are painted.
Let's get out of here.
All right. Hail yourselves, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.